So now we get to verse 11, and we're going to see then this point at which Simon Peter, which Cephas, comes to Antioch, and we'll see a little bit of a difficulty there. Now, before we do that, though, there's another passage in the Acts of the Apostles that is worth looking at this moment, because it's another account of this same kind of a conference, of the same sort of question that comes up, and it comes up in Acts chapter 15. So if we turn to Acts 15, we're going to see the same kind of thing, and we can compare this to Galatians 2, verses 1 through 10, and see a lot of similar things that are there. So Acts 15, some who had come down from Judea were instructing the brothers that unless you are circumcised according to Mosaic practice, you cannot be saved. So think about this message. So people came from Judea. These would be like the Judaizers, or as St. Paul was calling them, the agitators. People from Judea coming up to Gentile communities, telling them you must follow Mosaic law. You must be circumcised. And so what did this do? This created confusion. This created difficulty that is there. The same kind of challenges, the same kind of problems that was happening in the churches in Galatia, the same kind of question, this angst that is there. They thought that here we had this message of Jesus Christ, but now if we don't do this thing, we won't in fact be saved. So they were afraid that the gospel that St. Paul had preached was defective because he had left out this essential requirement for salvation, which is circumcision. So there's the challenge. It's a challenge in Antioch. It was a challenge in Galatia. Acts 15, then verse 2. Because there arose no little dissension and debate by Paul and Barnabas with them, it was decided that Paul and Barnabas and some others should go to Jerusalem, to the apostles, to ask about this question. And so that's what happened in Galatians 2. They went up to Jerusalem in order to present this gospel. They wanted to resolve this question. Verse 4, when they arrived in Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church, as well as by the apostles and the presbyters, and they reported what God had done with them. Verse 5, but some from the party of the Pharisees, who had become believers, stood up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them and direct them to observe the Mosaic law. So verse 5, these are the people who St. Paul would have referred to as the false brothers, those people trying to spy out this freedom in order to enslave them. Now, again, as I said, the Pharisees who had practiced the Mosaic law all their life, to them they saw this as very consistent. They didn't see any controversy there. But for St. Paul, this was something he could not accept at all. Verse 6, the apostles and presbyters met together after much debate. Peter said to them, you are well aware from the early days how God made this choice among you, that through my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness by granting them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. That verse 8, granting the Holy Spirit, this is a recognition at this council in Jerusalem that God showed his approval to this choice that they need not be circumcised because the Holy Spirit came upon them. Is that God granted them the Holy Spirit. And so when God did not require circumcision, it's not the place of any human being to require what God did not require. Verse 9, he made no distinction between us and them, between Jews and Gentiles, for by faith he purified their hearts. Verse 10, why then are you putting God to the test by placing on the shoulders of the disciples, these Gentile disciples, a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear, this yoke or this burden of the law? This idea of using the word yoke, referring to the law as a yoke, this shows a lot of the thinking of St. Paul in the sense that we are freed from the burden of the law, freed from the requirements of the Mosaic law. This is a cornerstone of St. Paul's teaching. Not that we have this freedom to do anything we want. That's not what St. Paul's saying. But the burden of observing the requirements of the law, he did see that as a burden, the Old Testament law, the Torah law, the Mosaic law that is there. And it's something that we have been freed from by Jesus Christ. He says, verse 11, on the contrary, we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way. So then in the Acts of the Apostles, we see Paul and Barnabas tell their stories about what they have seen, about what has happened. And we hear James respond after that, and then they make a decision. verse 19, it is my judgment, therefore, that we ought to stop troubling the Gentiles who turn to God, but tell them by letter to avoid pollution from idols, unlawful marriage, the meat of strangled animals, and blood. For Moses, for generations now, has had those who proclaim in every town, as he has been read in synagogues from every Sabbath. And so then they write this letter, and they send this letter to the Gentile churches, saying, verse 28, it is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us not to place on you any burden beyond these necessities, namely to abstain from meat, sacrificed to idols, from blood, and so forth. If you keep free of these, you will be doing well. So here is the statement, verse 28. It's the decision of the Holy Spirit. In other words, they're recognizing that the Holy Spirit has been active in guiding them to this decision. So primarily this is a decision of God, but it says, and of us as well, meaning that it is a decision in which they fully concur. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us not to place on you any burden besides these basic necessities of abstaining from things that of themselves are so offensive. Of themselves would be a sacrilege. They have then made this decision not to impose on them any of the other requirements of the Mosaic Law. Now, one of the things that's interesting about this passage in Acts 15 is it shows that Paul comes up to Jerusalem. He presents the question. He tells the stories about what has happened so far from the Gentile communities. And then St. Peter stands up, and then he becomes this eloquent and vigorous defender, along with St. Paul, saying together that they all have come to the same agreement about the requirements for the Gentiles, that they're not held to the Mosaic Law. Now, one of the things about the Acts of the Apostles is that they make this sound as though the question was raised and then the answer was given right away. And I think that what may have happened is it may have taken a little longer, may have taken a little while to really come to this decision and to accept it. In the Acts of the Apostles, we kind of get the decision and then we get the conclusion right away. But it may have taken a little bit of time to work itself out for people to really think through this and to accept it. Acts 15 makes it sound as though it was just simply accepted very quickly by the council and by all concerned. But as we look back to Galatians 2, and we'll turn back now to that second half of Galatians 2, we see a concrete example of a time at which there wasn't quite such a quick acceptance of this Torah-free gospel, the Gentile Christians' acceptance of Christ without the Mosaic Law. And it happens in Galatians 2, verse 11. Here in this passage, we now get the second half of Galatians 2, and this time it's not Paul going up to Jerusalem. This time it's Peter coming to Antioch. Peter coming to a Gentile Christian community, a town where the Gentile Christians are there worshiping Christ. So verse 11, and when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he clearly was wrong. Now, again, St. Paul doesn't mince words, does he? He comes right out and is going to clearly confront Simon Peter. It's another reminder that he's not concerned about human opinion. He's not concerned about making a good impression. He wants to do what he sees to be right, no matter what those consequences are. So he's ready to confront Simon Peter when Simon Peter was in fact wrong. Verse 12, for until some people came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. Simon Peter used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to draw back and separated himself because he was afraid of the circumcised. And so we have this image here of Peter coming to visit these Christians in Antioch. And so here they are at table, and they are sharing table fellowship. Here it's the time for the meals are there. Peter, a Jew, a Jewish Christian, eating alongside Gentile Christians, sitting at the same table. And so there's this common bond that is there between all of those who are professed in Christ. But then we see these other people who had come from James. It doesn't say that it was James from Jerusalem, that James was there himself, but it would have been people associated with James, kind of like we saw those Pharisees who had become Christians in Acts 15, or we see those other, they talk about the false brothers, who were secretly brought in Galatians 2, verse 4. So here are these people from James, people who, as we obviously will see here, did practice circumcision and did believe that that was an important part of being a Christian, following the Mosaic law. So when they came, all of a sudden Peter began to draw back and separate himself. And so when it was time for meals, one of the things that was part of the Old Testament is that the Jews were the chosen people who had been chosen out of the world. They had been called to separate themselves from the world. So there were certain things that they, throughout the Old Testament, were forbidden to do. They were absolutely forbidden to commingle or intermingle amongst the Gentiles. It was a very solemn responsibility. And so this was seen here when it came time to sit down at table. It says the Jews could not sit down and eat with the Gentiles. It was against their sensibilities. And so what did Peter do? He pulled back. He said, well, for a table, for eating at meals, then instead I'm going to separate myself and sit with the Jewish Christians and not sit with the Gentile Christians. The problem is that now we're beginning to introduce a separation. We're now taking the people who had all come to believe in Christ, and now we're separating them and turning them into two different classes. We might even say this is like two different gospels. In other words, we cannot have a gospel that fits for the Jewish Christians who say, well, you have to do this, and then another gospel that works for the Gentile Christians. He says what you're doing is you're separating the gospel into two gospels. You're separating the body of Christ into two bodies. And in that, that actually does wounds Christ. And that's one of the reasons St. Paul is so clear on not accepting this at all. Verse 13, and the rest of the Jews also acted hypocritically. He sees this as a hypocrisy, because if we believe that we were all saved in Christ, then for St. Paul it is the height of a contradiction than to separate those who have been united by the grace of salvation in Jesus Christ. It is hypocrisy. Verse 13, they acted hypocritically along with him, with Simon Peter, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. And so now we have this confusion that is there. Here Simon Peter trying to heal the division, and now more division is being caused by his action. But verse 14, but when I saw that they were not on the right road in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, if you, though a Jew, are living like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? He's confronting Simon Peter with this contradiction that is here, but this creating this false division between Jews and Gentiles. St. Paul confronts Cephas publicly. We remember back in Galatians 2, verse 2, he spoke with the apostles privately, and they accepted what he had to say in private, but all of a sudden Simon Peter didn't have the courage to say the same thing in public. So here's a public rebuke, a public confrontation. When they were in Jerusalem, St. Paul brought Titus along. So Titus, who was a Gentile Christian, and he was able to remain in this gospel as St. Paul preached. He says he was not required to be circumcised. But on the other side, when we get to Antioch, Barnabas, however, is carried away by the hypocrisy. Barnabas does give in. Titus does not give in when he's in Jerusalem, but Barnabas does give in to this false gospel, as St. Paul would say, when they're in Antioch. So there are little parallels that are here between Jerusalem and Antioch, between Paul and between Peter. And St. Paul is absolutely clear in confronting these issues that are here.